In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. The Lord be with you. Good afternoon. Let us pray. Almighty ever-living God, who govern all things, both in heaven and on earth, mercifully hear the pleading of your people and bestow your peace on our times. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. There was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. When the wine ran short, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, how does your concern affect me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servers, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for Jewish ceremonial washings, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told them, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Draw some out now and take it to the head waiter." So they took it. And when the head waiter tasted the water that had become wine, without knowing where it came from, although the servers had drawn the water new, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves good wine first, and then when people have drunk freely, an inferior one. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this as the beginning of his signs in Cana in Galilee, and so revealed his glory, and his disciples began to believe. The Gospel of the Lord. Much about the readings today could be said to be about intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer, for those of you who are unfamiliar with the term, probably not unfamiliar with what it means in action, is praying for another, petitioning the Lord on behalf of another. You pray for the souls in purgatory, intercessory prayer. When someone says, "Can you pray for my mother? She's sick," intercessory prayer. And so on and so on and so on. Now, in the first reading, there's a double way of seeing that section of Isaiah. The first, as the words of Isaiah, a prayer for the people, for the chosen people of God, who had very much done things not so good, being unfaithful to God. But Isaiah, even in the midst of the terrible goings-on within the people of God, prays for a spectacular renewal. At the same time, these are the words of God in the voice of a prophet, speaking the truth of the answer to that prayer, that this will come to be. And it is also, as you theologically unpack it in the context of the Lord's promises into the New Testament through Jesus Christ, this new Jerusalem, this shining, extraordinary renewal, is in fact the church. You and I here today who make up the members of the body of Christ. So there's a lot going on in there in terms of prayer and the way in which the Lord God is going to fulfill those prayers in his plan of salvation. In the gospel, we of course see Mary, the mother of Jesus, interceding on behalf of the couple, the family. We see, although she's not on her knees praying to God the Father, she is giving for us a model example of going to the Lord on behalf of someone else, which is the heart of intercessory prayer. And it explains, when you really look at the example of Isaiah and all the examples that we can put with that, and the model of Mary, we see one of the reasons why, particularly in the Catholic Church, Mary has remained for us a source of intercessory prayer, that we ask Mary to carry our needs, to intercede on our behalf to her son, who is an advocate himself before the Father, for our needs, even in the midst of the terrible things, the unfaithfulness of the people of God, the children of God, you and I. Both Isaiah and Mary could look at all the nasty things and say, I just don't think you deserve my prayers. I just don't think you deserve the blessings of God. You're just too bad. Sorry. I'm going to pray for the good people. Well, what did Jesus say about that? The righteous have no need. They're already righteous. And what else does the scripture tell us? That among fallen men, without the fullness of the grace of God, all have fallen short of the glory of God. All have fallen short of the glory of God. So every one of us needs prayer, needs the intercession of the saints, needs the intercession of Mary, needs the intercession of our brothers and sisters around us who are members of the body of Christ. All of us broken, all of us sinners, all of us in need of God's mercy, all of us in need of each other's prayers. All of us. Even the folks you don't like. Even the folks who this weekend in St. Augustine and next weekend in Washington will be mocking and ridiculing those marching for life. Intercessory prayer is a profound reality in our church, and it is deeply connected to what we believe about Mary and what we believe about the communion of saints. Deeply connected. And yet, unlike Mary and Isaiah, we often are stingy with our prayers. We have a litmus test, unlike Isaiah and Mary, about our prayers. We'd rather complain about a particular politician or political party than pray for the members of those parties that believe differently than us, that may not know the truth we know. We would rather retaliate against our neighbor who does things we don't like, encroaching on our property or decorating in a way we don't like, et cetera, et cetera. We would rather complain to others about our neighbor than pray for our neighbor. We would rather often complain about the mess on the street and the homeless and the ways in which that contributes to difficulties in the city and welfare and all these issues. We would rather complain about that often than pray for those folks. We would rather complain about leaders in ministry in the church than pray for them. We would rather complain and go on Facebook, et cetera, with regard to the failures of the leaders of the church than pray for them. We would rather complain in a confessional line about how long the person in front of us is taking than pray for them because of their obvious need if they're taking that long, right? Intercessory prayer is of profound importance, and it is a demonstration, a manifestation of love. The love that God has for us and that we ought to have for him and our neighbor. The words, "I don't know how to pray," or "I don't know what to pray for," ought truly to never pass the lips of a child of God. Because there is never, absent from our vision, our hearing, our understanding, there is never a time when a need for prayer is not before us. In our neighbor, in our coworker, in other parishioners, in the church, across the world, in politics, in what we hear about pandemics and epidemics and other diseases throughout the world. There is never a time when there isn't something to intercede toward the Lord for on behalf of others. Never. If you get in your car and drive two blocks, you already probably have five people to pray for. If you get on the freeway, it explodes. And as we recognize the truth of that, we ought to recognize that a lot of times on that road, we become the person that others are praying for. Thank God for intercessory prayer. Let's reflect on that in the days to come, particularly this week, with the bookends of the March for Life in St. Augustine and the March for Life in Washington. Recalling to mind the example of Mary. And let us pray our rosaries, asking for Mary's intercession, meditating on the moments of Christ's life, in those prayers bringing us closer to the heart of Christ, but also interceding on behalf of those who will be marching, and interceding on behalf of those in their potential ignorance, hardness of heart, brokenness because of church failures. Pray for those who will be opposing them. Let the Holy Spirit touch them through this witness, through the actions of the children of God standing before the world saying, "Every life matters, and we want to protect every life, especially the most vulnerable, the most innocent, in what ought to be the safest and most sacred place for a baby, the womb of their mother." Amen.